All right, here we go. Y'all ready?
Uh-huh.
And five, four, three, two. What up, y'all? Welcome to Here's the Thing. I'm Kayla Sage. She's
that chick angel.
Welcome to another podcast. Smash that like button. Smash that notification button. Mont Pubis. All right. Everybody listen to...
Did you say Mont Pubis?
Mons Pubis.
Mons Pubis?
You know what that is?
Pubic hair?
The bone. Right above that, you know.
Yeah, the mound.
The little mound.
Yeah.
You know, you got to say high five to that mound. You get that mound working sometime, you be in there. Get a little mound action.
I don't like that. Mound. Nobody likes that.
High five the Mons Pubis.
It's kind of like you're praising.
Yeah. Whack-a-mole. You get that pressure going?
No.
My boy, get up with Mons. Hey. Hey, you and my Mons.
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. This just broke, like, as we were shooting the ball of the beautiful.
As we're talking about the pubis?
We're talking about that Mons pubis.
That pubes.
Robert Sarver. Actually, this has been breaking, but the article just came out. Robert Sarver, who is the co-owner of the Phoenix Suns. Little history of racism, misogyny, and sexism. There's some stories in here. We'll go from egregious to most egregious. Egregious. When the Suns were recruiting free agent LaMarcus Aldridge in the summer of 2015, the team knew that Aldridge had young children in Texas and that playing near them was appealing. During the recruitment, Sarver remarked to two basketball operations staffers that the Suns needed to have local strippers impregnated by NBA players so those players would have children in the Phoenix area and feel obligated to be closer to them. Giving the Suns a potential edge in free agency, the now former staffer said. Egregious.
Egregious.
It gets worse.
That's strippers.
Okay. Through his legal team, Sarver denied using racially insensitive language. Quote, I've never called anyone or any group of people the N-word or referred to anyone or any group of people by the N-word, either verbally or in writing. I don't use that word. It's abhorrent and ugly and denigrating and against everything I believe in, unquote. Sarver did acknowledge using the word once many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Quote,
this one's good.
On one occasion, a player used the N-word to describe the importance of having each other's back. Sarver said through his attorneys, I responded by saying, I wouldn't say nigga. I would say that we're in the foxhole together.
Yeah. Oh,
assistant to coach
Lord
approached me a short time after and told me that I shouldn't say the word, even if I were quoting someone else. I immediately apologized and haven't said it ever again. The N-word has never been a part of my vocabulary.
Mm.
To the most egregious, and I didn't even read the article fully.
Yeah.
I just pulled these clips to share with you guys. Please find it and read it.
Mm-hmm.
Sarver once said... I mean, Sarver once used the N-word. This is after he said he only used it once in life. This is later. This is once. Sarver once used the N-word when trying to explain to a staffer why he preferred hiring Lindsey Hunter, a black man, over Dan Marley as head coach in 2013, according to a high-level executive who heard the remark. Hunter was a first-year Suns player development coordinator while Marley was in his fifth year as Suns associate head coach.
Oh no.
He said, and I quote, these niggas need a nigga.
Yes. Yes.
Sarver told the staffer of his largely black team, according to the executive.
These niggas need a nigga. How true. No truer words have ever been spoken.
Oh, Angel. So right now on Twitter, there's so many black people because in order to survive in America, we have to sometimes just laugh.
We all need.
Some black people were like, I ain't gonna lie, this dude wild racist, but these niggas need a nigga is.
It's the perfect, like, motto.
Imagine that getting trademarked.
Logo, huh?
Imagine that getting trademarked.
Yes, niggas need a nigga.
Don't be a nigga, be my nigga.
That's like if you're running for president. Oh, vote Angel Tanksley 2022, because niggas need a nigga. There you go.
You gotta deduct $50,000 off the fine. You gotta take $50,000 off the fine for these niggas need a nigga.
That's gonna be in somebody's rap lyrics because it would be perfect.
Only a racist black people. As long as we've been alive and using the N-word, trying to reclaim it, whatever you want to say, in all our creativity, Nobody's ever said, these niggas need a nigga. You want to go hire Dan Marley?
Right.
These niggas don't need a white man.
They need a nigga. That lets you know he uses it a lot, because that type of finessing of the word does not come from an accidental trip up.
That's like that little kid in that clip I posted earlier. Go fish, nigga.
Yes.
That delivery was, that was the only thing I had a problem with him for that. That's not go fish. That's Spades level niggadom.
Oh, but that's all he can play at that age, right, though.
He got to save that. It was too well executed to be used on go fish.
I'm practicing right now.
These niggas need a nigga. The fact, you know how wild it is. Actually, you know how comfortable you have to be saying the N word.
Yes.
To come up with that phrase.
That's what I'm saying. This is something he's been doing. To use nigga twice in a sentence. That is a nigga 601 AP.
Absolutely.
You're getting college credit in high school for that class. College credit in high school. It is a weighted grade. It's weighted on a 5.0 scale.
He's summa cum laude.
Come on.
Oh, summa cum laude.
Nigga cum laude is what he is. That's what you is. That is not something that you just trip upon. That is not, no. Oh, no. No, 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 no. That was just chef's kiss when he's doing his dissertation. Niggas need a nigga. Oh. Tell me more.
That clutching pearl.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. So eloquent.
So much revelation in that.
I'm telling you, man, that's what people, you know, people often argue, well, you know, how could you be racist and work that closely with black people? When you see them as wealth creators, I can pay you $1 million, $10 million, $100 million over 7 years, as long as I'm making $1 billion.
Yeah,
right. And these guys, they'll buy these teams for $200 million in 2006, and the value in 2021 be $900 million. I don't care if I gave you $100 million over 7 years.
Yeah.
When now, if I sell it, I make $700 million.
Right.
Them people running the plantation didn't care. Well, obviously they didn't get paid, but they don't care about your well-being.
No.
You are generating wealth that I can pass to my children. And them sports teams, they don't do nothing but go up. NBA teams?
Yes.
The last 20, 25 years, they go, the Clippers were worth, I think when Donald Sterling, who Robert Sarver is about to join, he bought the Clippers. They're like $200 million, something like that. When he had the whole racist thing, he sold them. It was like close to $1 billion, if not.
Still cashed out.
Yeah. What type of punishment is
$800 million?
That is what I'm saying. There is nothing I could do to get a punishment that looked like that.
Oh, now I gotta have. What am I gonna do with $800? You know what his punishment was? The capital gains on these taxes.
Right. That is it. But no matter how many times I say nigga, I ain't going to be able to cash out because of it, ever. And no matter how many times. Have you watched, have either one of y'all watched Colin in Black and White?
That show's in color, by the way, so it's a little misleading.
I heard it was.
You know, it's not what you might have expected, but it was good. It was good in the sense of.
I do that.
No, it was
this.
Good.
This list is good.
No, because, you didn't do that. That's a shimmy. You did a.
Now, I'm explaining what it says.
No, you said. How do I want to say this nicely?
No,
that's what that meant.
Because I know Josh well enough to know the things that he wouldn't like and the things that you wouldn't like. But the actual series is good. Colin as a narrator is a little bit difficult to like enjoy. No, it's just like, because you're just not used to hearing.
I know that's Marcus's boy, so you want to tread lightly.
No, it's
difficult
just,
to enjoy is a very nice way of putting it. It's difficult to enjoy.
Well, because his voice
the fact
is not.
That you're like, oh, the show's in color. It's a little misleading.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I want to hear what you're saying.
But the points that he's making about his life and the entire sports career in the professional sports arena in racism, I thought was really well told.
Sure.
That's what I mean by that. There are certain artistic choices that make me go, why are we doing this? Yeah. So yeah, anyway.
Did you do the budget in your head while you was watching?
Oh yes. Cause there was some CGI stuff. I was like, now see,
CGI and calling in black and white?
Because, like, you go from being on, like, a football field, then all of a sudden entering this universe that is not real with Colin.
Oh, that little open, like, that Nike commercial thing he was in?
Yes.
I didn't watch it because I didn't hear it was good, but that's not why I didn't watch it. I had watched too many heavy things in a row.
It doesn't feel that heavy.
Oh, really?
No, it is
very. Because they usually be doing heavy stuff.
It was so not what I expected. It had a little bit of a Wonder Years type of feel to it.
Interesting.
With how they were replaying his life. The actor that played him was amazing. And I feel like the way they told Colin's story was definitely not from a victimhood place. Mm. Like, I don't think he would consider himself a victim in how he was raised by his white parents that were very cringy through most of it.
Actor-wise?
No, like the choices his white adopted parents made.
Oh, okay. You're talking about in his real life.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if you meant the actors playing his parents.
No, it was very much low, like, oh.
Got it.
Ooh. But no, it wasn't heavy, like, because he wasn't, it's not like he was born in the 50s where we're watching somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was light racism.
Yeah, it's like the racism that we didn't realize shouldn't have still been happening, but we were just like, well, we an integrated school, so it can't be that bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it just made me think of that with the whole selling of a team. I think a lot of people, especially black folk, can see the whole parallel of buying and trading players is the same. It's similar to that which was done in slavery in buying and trading human lives for the workforce.
Yes.
So that's all. That's the only reason why I brought it up. I didn't mean to go on a tangent.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We very rarely talk about sports on here. But that Robert Sarver thing was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What was also interesting is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. The headline reads, Aaron Rodgers was secretly unvaccinated. Now, the reason this is a headline, a reason why this was funny to me, Kevin, Aaron Rodgers was ruled out of this Sunday's game and possibly the next game.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the NFL rules work around COVID, the reporters were like, oh, these are the unvaccinated protocols.
Uh-huh.
Because apparently if you're vaccinated, you can test positive, but then you can test more closely to it. If you're asymptomatic and you test negative, you can still play. But if you're unvaccinated, whether you're asymptomatic or symptomatic, there's like a hard, I believe 10 days, correct me if I'm wrong, 10 days. So what was funny is everybody had thought he was vaccinated because this clip of him being asked if he was vaccinated, he answered the question a little cheeky.
Oh, yeah.
Little cheeky if you ask me. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure I'm good. Oh, dang. I hate when there's an ad. When I just... 15 seconds too. So, how you guys doing? How your feet feel? Okay.
I'm tired, but, you know, I'm getting through it. Got a flight in the morning. Not too worried about it. Not too early, you know?
Not too early. Oh, you can't find it? What happened?
Hold on, let me find it. I did all
that. Y'all, my knee is hurting. I ain't going to be able to twerk like I used to. I got a single leg? Huh?
You can maybe try a
single leg. If I do it more like a stanky leg,
all right, here it is.
Where the leg is out, I might be able to.
I don't know where it falls.
If you were hoping to see quarterback Aaron Rodgers on the football field this weekend, you are going to be disappointed. He's tested positive for COVID, and the way he's handled
COVID. This is what Rodgers said back in August.
Are you vaccinated?
Yeah, I've been immunized. You know, there's guys on the team that haven't been vaccinated. I think it's a personal decision. I'm not going to judge those guys.
It sure sounds like he's saying he got the COVID vaccine, but reports say...
So this is the funny thing. The thing about the immunized, I feel like, wasn't what tricked people. It was the I'm not going to judge people who aren't unvaccinated.
You know, deflected. He's like, there's some players on the team that
exactly.
Aren't.
The immunized was a throwaway line. Right. Oh, yeah, I've been immunized. But, you know, I'm not going to judge those who haven't been unvaccinated because it's a personal choice.
He lied. He made a lie. He just lied and then put some icing over top of it so you can see it. Have you been vaccinated? Yeah. Was his first words. Then, I've been immunized.
Right.
So you lie.
So and the answer to my question is no.
He's talking about, polio, I'm good.
Yeah.
I got that shot.
Oh, my gosh. I think there are a lot of people out here lying about being vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. People selling cards.
Well, the thing is, okay, so somebody in the comments said you can still catch COVID if you're unvaccinated if you're vaccinated.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, that's not the argument.
That is definitely not it.
The argument isn't whether you can catch... The argument isn't even whether you should get vaccinated or not.
No.
The thing that makes Aaron Rodgers funny is that he heavily implied he was vaccinated and then was... So apparently there's different protocols for, on the field, in the meeting rooms, all...
Yes, right.
If you're vaccinated or not. He was doing the all the vaccinated protocols and he was unvaccinated. Apparently he tried to get his own alternative treatment approved by the NFL for vaccination. And they were like...
Tussin? I got Tussin and I got ginger ale. Does that count as a vaccination?
He's looking around the room.
He's like, I feel like it do.
Immunized could be, some people would say that means that I've already got it, so I have the antibodies. That's not what we're asking you. Have you received the vaccine?
Is what she asked.
But honestly, what Aaron, he just probably didn't want to ask, answer no questions about it. Once he, apparently after he answered that, he wasn't asked again.
Of course.
The people who were not vaccinated, they got asked over and over, and he was like, I don't think I don't really want to be having this conversation over and over again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm immunized. And you know, well, if Angel's not, that's fine. And I love her. And if Josh is, it's his choice as well. All right. Tricked you. See ya.
Tricked you. Thanks. Y'all not going to ask for my card and you're not going to see it. That's the other thing. How did they not, like, granted, these restaurants out here ain't really checking. They'll ask for your vaccination card, but you could literally hold up any QR
code. You can
code.
Hold up a boarding pass for your flight tomorrow. Perfect. Delta. Yeah. Gate 3.
She's been vaccinated against the Delta variant.
Yeah, go right ahead. Right around this corner. Keep going down.
So they're not really checking, but you would think that the NFL would be doing some sort of due diligence to be like, okay, can we actually physically see your vaccination card?
That's what I think is the most interesting. Like, it seems like they just took his word for it and nobody discount double checked.
Well, I wonder, oh my God.
Because he had a commercial where he would do that.
And nobody, damn it, I didn't want to give it to you.
I don't know why you did, Josh.
You got to let it go,
it's
baby.
It's good, Kevin. It's good.
Are you disappointed in yourself?
I am, man.
I was like, no.
I do.
In
wonder-
LA, they just said, actually today, starting today, you can't eat indoors if again? You're not vaccinated.
Oh, okay.
You can't even eat Starbucks.
When I was in New York.
I thought it was like, you know, like steakhouse and you know what I'm saying?
No, they said get you outside.
You can't eat nothing.
Yeah. Get outside.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, when I was in New York, you couldn't go to any restaurant indoors or outdoors. You couldn't be a part of any restaurant if you did not have your ID and your vax card.
Not even outdoors?
Mm-mm. Well, because even the outdoors, there's like enclosures. Cause it's
oh, that's true. That's true.
It's brick, fam. You know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, it'd be cold.
But yeah, but I wonder if his team knew, though.
I don't know. It the NFL knows
me.
Everything.
That's what
the
I'm saying. The team knows everything. Me if they knew and they're just like, well, you could technically, if you could still play, why make it a big deal?
And that's the thing. Like,
PR is crazy.
Yeah, and the NFL don't care nothing about nothing but money. The vaccination thing isn't because they believe in the vaccination. The vaccination is because if you're vaccinated, the chance of you coming back to play for us is faster.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL said that black people... brains don't develop at the same rate as white men. So when they get concussions, they're not getting the same payout because basically they're kind of a little bit dumb.
Right.
They don't care about these people.
No, not at all. This is all about one, yes, how quickly you gonna come back? Two, are you gonna take out any other players with you?
Exactly.
That's the only two things it is.
They're trying to avoid a locker room outbreak, which is minimized if you have the vaccine. If you're the vaccinated. Majority of your team is vaccinated. So anyway, enough of that. Moving on, our good friend, Willard Carroll Smith Jr.
William.
Willard.
Big Will.
William.
Willard. His name is Willard. Carroll Smith.
Is it really?
Yes.
Willard.
Willard.
A-R-D.
Carroll Smith.
Carroll?
Willard Carroll Smith.
Oh, his father is William Carroll Smith.
Yeah. I don't know why they just didn't give.
I was like, no, I just read it in the article. It's William Carroll Smith.
I don't know why. I could see the other way around. I don't know.
Who's the junior?
I don't know. I was completely confused.
Well, I've got to figure this out. Please go ahead.
I
will not
rest. I don't have his number.
I will not rest until his name is Willard. You are right.
Does he have an older brother named William?
But he's a junior.
Who's the senior?
It would have to be. It don't work like that, black people. You can't switch it up and it be senior and junior.
Larry said Kev corrected Angel. Kev don't support black women.
He don't.
That's so anyway, Willard Carroll Smith Jr. Willard Carroll Smith is in the news. He's got a new book coming out called Will. And he's in the news for a couple of reasons for this, what I'll say, cycle. Mm. What I initially have put in here is that he said that he contemplated suicide. Can I just play this whole clip? It's like 2 minutes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let me just play this for you.
This began as a journey to get into the best shape of my life.
Even better than iRobot?
Even better than iRobot. I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 20 weeks.
Come on, Will. Get your head back.
When I started this show,
about to get it,
I thought I was getting into the best shape of my life physically, but mentally, I was somewhere else.
I'm done.
And I ended up discovering a whole lot of hidden things about myself.
Will is about to embark on two extraordinarily difficult journeys.
I'm writing my book, and it's like exposing my life and so many things that people don't know about me. That was the only time in my life that I ever considered suicide. Now I'm about to show the world how little I know about myself. I don't want to do any of this. I'm finished with the best shape of my life.
That's my mantra for the last 20 years.
Will Smith, the alien annihilating MC. Bigger than life movie star is largely a construction, a carefully crafted and honed character designed to protect myself, to hide myself from the world, to hide the coward.
Damn. So what I thought was interesting about that wasn't the suicide thing, bless his heart, bless him. It was that Will Smith is a protective shell.
His name is Kev on stage.
What?
Details jokes.
No.
He loves black love.
I'm very different.
Support.
I'm in the worship of my life, first of all.
No, you're saying Will Smith is a protective, like, blanket over him. Mm-hmm. That is Kev on stage.
Who tells jokes.
And yes, you guys, the article quoted the dad's name wrong. It is Willard. The article, the People article that we're quoting said William. Yes, that's exactly what you do.
In other news, something else is in the dark.
Yes, that's exactly.
Josh, you agree with this?
I don't disagree with it.
Well, then you agree, Aaron Rodgers.
You really not see it as that? Or are you just doing it as a joke?
No. I was just like, this is crazy that he did this. Didn't even think about it.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to out you in front of everybody.
We're going
to
tackle this in therapy on Monday.
Working with you, especially on the tour.
What you found out on that old tour, Angel?
Look, hey, diva Kevin. No, no, you're not a diva. You're not a diva. I see how quickly. You're like Zorro, nigga. You be like, fan come around. Like that cape of Kev on stage comes on.
It's like the Black Panther.
Yes.
The Black Panther costume.
Hi, yes, of course. I'm like, wow. Like your switch is super fast. It's super fast and it's smart. I don't judge it in a bad way. I think it's super smart. One, it allows your fans
to see me as they know me.
Yeah, to experience the person they want to experience. Some people might want to experience the real you, but they don't actually. I'm just kidding. But people actually want the experience that they have thought up in their head. They don't necessarily want the peeled off all the layers of the onion version of yourself.
Absolutely. Veronica A said, I wonder if Kev gets tired.
I was literally reading that one and about to do exactly what you're about to do, so go ahead.
Yeah. The answer is yes. Single me out, Josh. Zoom in, as my good friend Marcus says. I get exhausted. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very tired. It is performance mode, Kevin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's zoom me out, Josh. I don't talk to Angel now. It is performance mode. And honestly, I don't even think it's conscious. I don't think it's conscious. Mm-mm. You know, you zoomed all the way in. I just saw the playback.
Oh, yeah.
When we were on the first tour before Angel would stay in the Residence Inn, Josh, Tony, and Tahir had to pull me aside. And they were like, hey, man, you got to pull it together. After these shows, you're exhausted out there. You look like crap. Mm-hmm. In between, you smile for the pictures, but in between, when people are walking down the stairs,
I can only imagine.
Angel. And at this time, we would have sometimes 200 and 300 VIP, because VIP was just anybody who bought tickets to the Love Hour. And
yeah.
So some nights, it's 500, 600 people. So after performing twice, I still got to be like, hello.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in therapy, I found out, actually, we was working on a project with Melissa, and I found out some stuff about myself. I was like, boy, you really, you know, and I think a lot of people are like that. Somebody in the comments, I didn't catch the name, I'm sorry, said we all have a little wheel wall up, you know?
Yeah, I would say that you probably started perfecting this because of church. We all bring a representative when we are church boys thought. And girls. Okay.
Remind me to tell you about the new version.
Okay, I can't
then,
wait.
And put a pin in that and keep that, and I'll update you.
The new translation.
I think we all, as church, those of us who are church boys and church girls, bring a representative to church to protect us from the judgment of the people that we want to impress, the people that we want to put value on our salvation being real or not.
Yes. So, sometimes to the detriment of the body of Christ.
Oh, it
if
definitely.
We could be who we really, this was actually one of my problems. If you could be who you actually were, that really, to me, is a more representative version of Jesus's love.
Oh, 100%. You know what I'm saying? 100% agree with you on that. But I think what I'm saying is that's probably why you are so good at getting yourself together for those people who came to see Kev on stage versus Kevin Allen Fredericks.
Kevin Allen Fredericks, he don't tell no jokes. He's a little boy from El Paso. He was a middle child and nobody loved him. Kev on stage said, I'm going to pull you out of the muck and the miry clay. And we're going to have a nice house in Maserati. The funny thing about the Maserati is a car for Kev on stage. The car I actually drive.
Oh,
90% of the time.
Perfect example.
Kev on stage drives a Maserati.
Yeah.
Kevin Fredericks drives a Ford Ranger pickup, which has trash in the back right now. My audience might not know this, but man, the dream I had of my my first apartment, I didn't even know what a Maserati was at this time. I didn't even know Maserati been around that long. It's funny how when you're poor, you only can dream of stuff you've seen.
You can only dream of what you know about.
I was like, I didn't know about Aston Martin until James Bond. I didn't know about Maserati until, I think, Tim Delegato, he was Delegato at the time, had one. I'd never even heard of that car. Mm-hmm. Yvonne had an Alfa Romeo.
I was like, what is this lasagna noodle? That's the name of an Italian dish.
I didn't know about broccolini. Yes. I didn't know about.
I said, Marcus, there's a new car out. He said, Angel, that is not a new car.
I didn't know.
I never heard of it.
These cars been. I didn't know that Lexus was.
She got that out of Nigeria. That's where she got that.
She took me and Melissa in that car the day she bought it. I was like, this car must have cost $1 million. I said, how you got a car? I had never seen a dealership, nothing. Yes. I forgot what I was about to say. I didn't even know that Lexus was the top of Toyota.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that all the cars, I didn't know Acura was. I was like, somebody said, if you take the H of Honda and push it in, you got this,
that's the A
of Acura.
Yeah.
I said, now what you, and in other countries, the Lexus trucks are Toyotas. Mm-hmm. Like they just switched the emblem out.
Yeah, they just take it off.
That's why Lexus would be running so good. And by the way, I saw your dream Lexus and I apologize.
You saw, in the night?
I saw one coming out of my neighborhood and I was like, and it was, window was down, fully loaded. I was like, oh,
they are
that's
nice.
Why.
That car will last 500,000 miles.
It's the best of
both worlds. You get the luxury in the dependability.
Because that Maserati boy,
I'm about to get
Marcus tried to tell me, and I didn't listen. He was talking to Kev on stage.
Excuse me. Yeah. Uh huh. He yes, of course.
Kev on stage didn't want to.
Like Maserati.
Kev on stage was big leaping. Boy, I said, man, the key fob broke. I said, you piece of this is wildly inconvenient. That Corolla that I had. That mug could have been on fire
and would have got you where you need to go.
Under an ice lake with bullet holes in it.
That key fob.
Held down by goblins.
Yeah,
that mug was going to turn on and dry.
Oh, absolutely.
That Maserati, you sneezed near me. I won't be working today.
Is that COVID?
I haven't been to Whole Foods in weeks. I can't. Where's Air One?
Dang it.
This isn't Santa Monica. I haven't been to Santa Monica in months.
You're so stupid.
I hate it. I mean, I don't hate it, but it was a mistake. I ain't gonna hold you.
It's all good.
I'm turning it back in.
It's a lease. That's why it's a lease, though.
We about to get a new vehicle.
What you finna get, Angel?
I don't know. You just brought it back up. See, the thing is that because we might now, because we have to come up with expenses for our business, we might actually lease because I don't drive as much as I used to. Before, it wasn't a possibility because I was running to auditions all over God's green earth.
I know that feeling well.
But now that auditions are virtual or taped, though I don't do as many miles, so we might actually lease as a write-off. So then that opens up a lot more options. So maybe look at a new Lexus or what is the truck?
Lincoln Navigator.
The Lincoln Navigator. I'd be getting all
you
of them.
You'd be wanting Angel. If you bought a semi-truck, I would not be surprised.
I have four kids and big husband.
Big husband, and the children are, little Marcus is a large child.
Yeah.
Tall child.
Mm-hmm.
Amar, he's got his delegates. He needs Air Force One. Well, you have the biggest version of cars I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is.
Your truck was in the back. The people at Ford were like, oh, shoot, we gotta move
some stuff around.
Terry!
Yes.
Can you pull it around?
100.
That one don't even go in the showroom.
No. I love it, too. I can see everything.
It's a big
body. It's like being tall. In real life, you know how they be seeing everything? I can see everything everywhere. But, yeah, so we might, before the end of the year, we gonna switch over. I don't know what it's gonna be because that Ford then pissed me off.
Let me go with y'all.
Okay.
So the other thing that was crazy, like the other headline, and this was a little bit irresponsible. Let me pull it. Basically, what the headlines were reading, this is the fair headline to me. Will Smith once contemplated killing his father to avenge his mother. Mm-hmm. Read excerpt from his memoir. That's what People Magazine said. Mm-hmm. Rap DX was like, Will Smith thought about killing his dad. Hold on. Say the whole thing.
Okay. Like, uh-uh.
You can't just say the part. The excerpt says he watched his dad punch his mom in the head so hard, blood came out of her nose.
And she passed out.
And then when he was wheeling him around, no pun intended, he was like, you know, you have those intrusive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
He was basically like, oh, I'll kill this nigga right now.
Right.
Basically. I mean, like, he basically was like, I'll kill you. That is not the same thing as, without that context, you make it seem like he was just sitting down thinking about killing his dad.
Plotting his death every day. Like, that. They definitely just decided what is going to be the most salacious thing. Will Smith almost killed his daddy.
Yes. Literally, like, exactly what they do. Listen, like, I know Will knows the game, but it'd be like, this is what happened with Jada too, and it happens to celebrities all the time.
Oh, yeah. We just talked about it.
It's the clickbait.
Same exact concept.
It's the same concept. I want you to click. If you've clicked and read the article, by the time you realize, oh, it wasn't really what you said, you've already been served the ads.
Yes.
The company doesn't care how you actually feel.
Oh, yeah, no.
And they really, and this is what the argument used to be when we worked at All Def, we used to go back and forth about this. It used to be like, but if you get known for that, people aren't going to trust you as a content place.
Yeah.
You're going to be known as clickbait titles. But when your company only cares about clicks and shares and engagements, you don't care about any of that.
No,
you're just showing investors, we have growth and look how much, you know what I'm saying? But I think if I saw my dad punch my mom in the head so hard that her nose bled and she passed out, I'd probably think about killing him.
Absolutely.
Oh, even yeah. not
or
in the moment.
Actually attempted. Actually did a full-blown attempt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put that past, folk.
Yeah. And the last headline, he's getting them all out. This book. More.
I mean, just like, and let me, there was this other thing. Y'all been wondering what I did. Let me tell you this other thing I did that was just wildly. And this is happens for real in real life. And it's a shame because you would hope that it doesn't. He fell in love with Stalker Channing during his first marriage.
And she is a Wahite from the Wahite Mountains. The Isles of Wahitania.
So they were working together on 6 degrees of separation during the beginning of his marriage. They had just had their baby. And he was playing this character, Paul. And I think, I'm not sure, in that movie, were they romantic interest in the movie?
I thought he wasn't he gay in 6 degrees of separation?
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either. But I thought his character was gay and he was trying to get the, like, he was trying to be whoever he needed people to be.
So he just fell in love working with the woman. And so even after the thing was over, he was like just needing to see this woman. I'd kill everybody. Ah! I'd kill everybody.
You didn't fall in love with Michael Rappaport when you was on the stage?
No. 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 Now, I am good at substituting. I am good at like, oh, okay. What are the things that I would find charming about this person? And I'll latch on to that so that there's chemistry. But, like, ain't nobody paying me enough to really be in love.
But why do you think that be happening? Do you think it's the amount of time they spend with each other that the Hollywood love be happening?
I do. I think it's the really having to create this fantasy in there. You're working together. And especially if, like, so what it happened with Brad and Angelina Jolie, and they're this married couple. They're doing all this stuff together, spending all this time, late night shoots. I do think it just like in any relationship, you give enough room for something to happen, that something happens.
Got it.
But that is strange a little bit to me that like the in this movie they did not have. Jesus.
Stalker Channing is Rizzo? That ain't Rizzo. That is Rizzo.
What you mean?
She's Rizzo from Grease.
Oh, it is. You're right. I can tell from her, what you call it, profile.
How she look younger in this movie that came out after Grease?
Because her hair is lighter. Sometimes dark hair makes you look older.
The stage crew kept saying Rizzo. I was like, why y'all?
And then sometimes people who are artists, they can fall in love with talent. And that really will
so
do
when
it.
I was in the play world, I think I told the story before. This there was a girl who was, I would say she was attracted to power, and Melissa was like, don't invite her no more. She was coming to church. She was hey, get that butt up. and scram you. But yeah, I think even talented people be attracted to talented other people. And I don't think Willard's wife was in the industry.
What's her name? Terry? No, Tracy. What's her name? She pretty. Cherie. Jesus. Cherie. Jesus. I said everything, Rizzo. But let's see what she was doing. She was pretty. And no, I feel like because she was out here in Hollywood, but was she not an actress? I don't know. Oh, yeah, she was an actress. Okay, yeah, no, she was an actress. But I don't think by that time that they were in a relationship, I don't know how much acting she was doing. But her pretty self.
Cherie.
But yeah, he was saying method. It was him method acting and getting so connected to the character. Trying to be, I'll disconnect. Don't worry. Between takes, I'm not even going. I'll be like,
between takes?
I'll become Angel all the way again. And I'll be like, all right, let's do it. I don't care if it's a period piece. And we're talking in the Queen's English. I'm going to be back here as soon as they say cut. All
do
right.
You do method acting?
Not What's your really. Style?
Are you Uta Hagen? Are you Stanislavski? Are you Chekhov?
It's a mixture of all of them. Whatever works to get me to where I need to go.
What were you trained in, though?
All of them.
Oh, you were training all of
no,
them.
No, yes. In undergrad, we studied Chekhov, Uta Hagen. Mm. In my master's program, we did a lot of Stanislavski in Uta Hagen as well.
I love niggas. Love Uta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Uta had a chokehold on the theater kids.
She's like, this is what we're doing.
And niggas was like, substitution?
Yes.
Objective?
Substitution works a lot of really well for me in auditions. Not as much when I'm actually booked the job. Then I don't need to come that far out of the... I feel like substitution can sometimes pull you out of the character because mm-hmm. you're adding something to the script that wasn't there. But if I'm allowed to play a whole scene, I don't need substitution. I'm just going to be that character.
When I was doing Macbeth, my character was supposed to get stabbed. And, you know, they were like, substitute getting hit with a hot iron. What I would actually do is pinch myself, like... Because I had to like hold my side where I got stabbed, and I would pinch myself as hard as I could to like make myself feel pain, and then that was my own acting.
Oh, you said I will. I'd been like, I don't want to hurt. I don't.
I remember they got so mad at me. They had me growing a fro, and my hair just doesn't look good like that. And with about eight days left, I was like, I'm getting a haircut.
You gonna grow your hair out for this challenge? That we're
I
gonna
am.
Do? Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now when I'm gonna start. We're going on a trip on our favorite rocket ship on December 19th.
Okay.
I'm going across overseas. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? What the hey? I don't be wanting to shave when I'm on vacation anyway. Mm-hmm. I will probably shave. See, Atlanta, we have 3 days of shows. Mm-hmm. I will shave on the first day of shows, which will be the 16th. And I will not shave my head until I come back to the United States, which I believe is January 4th.
I'll see if Marcus will agree.
So by the time I get here, now I'm gonna be, looking
friend,
like
them. I can't wait.
Lego. And now all I want to make sure is that before we shoot this show,
it's cut.
I can't because I'm on.
I just got I gotta ask Marcus if he's willing to go through the winter break without shaving, and then y'all.
I'm
both
gonna
can.
Look like Steve Harvey would. The hair, it's gonna look so bad, man.
It's gonna look great once Melissa cuts it, though.
My hair grows fast.
Marcus's does too.
That way, had a hat on today.
More than likely, yes.
Yeah, because when we shoot on the off days, I'd be like, if I shave now, I mean, I have to shave when I'm on the road.
Listen, that's gonna be good. That's good. What would we talk about before we started talking about hair?
I'm getting the book.
That's why I asked you if you're gonna read it.
I'm getting the. I don't gonna read it.
Talk to me.
Tell it to me. I don't be doing this much anymore.
Oh, I love a good.
Do you really?
Oh, yes. What did you say? I love it.
I'm not gonna look like Chico Bean because I don't have. I'm not as Chico's bald more.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is Magneto. My hairline is like. This is what I'm going to look like. But I can't grow a fro. My hair will stop growing. That's why it's whack.
Why are
you so tickled by this?
This is going to be so fun.
Why are you enjoying this?
Oh, because we're going to a restaurant after. So if y'all don't know, just in case you did watch The Bald and the Beautiful.
It's not the same, by the way.
It is.
No, it's not because my hair is really going to look dumb. But makeup is just poor makeup done.
You look dumb with poor makeup on. So the challenge is Marcus and Kevin, they're going to grow out their hair and first to see who has the best hairline. Then Melissa.
That's not part of it. That
is where it started in my head.
I'm not arguing.
Marcus's hairline, like he says, it's in cursive. So at least yours makes a definitive shape. It's like
that
Arabic
shape
letters.
Is the letter M. It's Mega Man's helmet.
It says Marcus is the problem. Then Melissa's going to shave Kevin's head. I'm going to shave Marcus's head. And then they're going to do our makeup. And we're going to go to a very nice restaurant.
I'm going to look like Kanye. That Kanye haircut that he just had.
Did you see the haircut I did on Marcus?
I did see it.
Yes.
You tried to do the Star of David in the back.
I didn't try. I did. He had the Star of David in the back of his head. Shout out to David.
Oh my gosh. Have to have the Vegeta. Young dudes.
This is going to be
Vegeta
so
was wilding though. Saiyans had some terrible hairlines. All right. Yeah. Moving on. Are you familiar with the term the Great Resignation?
Based off of the docket, yes.
Had you heard of this before, Josh?
Mm-mm.
All right, let me read it to you. Let me know if you guys know what the Great Resignation is in the bottom here. Let me read it to you while you figure it out. The Great Resignation is not about people not wanting to work. It's about a dawning of recognition that for a larger and larger portion of the country, the American dream is dead. And with it, the inspiration of working toward a better future for oneself. Instead, work becomes, a better future for oneself. Instead, work becomes not the means toward reaching an aspiration, spouse, children, home, vacations, personal growth, retirement. Instead, the greed culture has turned work for millions into just a means of survival, with wages stagnant, healthcare unaffordable, insurance, etc. Parents have already been taught by the MIC resources. Hold on, wait.
I think it's out of
order. Insurance. Why does it always do that?
I had tried to find the link to it, but it wasn't in here, so I just pieced it together in my brain.
Hold on.
Said, oh, okay.
I thought I put the link in here. Let me find it real quick.
It might have been in there before.
Okay.
Insurance.
Hopefully he pinned it. Oh, he got another. Let me find it for y'all because I don't want to read it out of order. It's going to be confusing. Why does the docket always do that?
It does.
It's really confusing, especially when I try to scroll through stuff.
I don't want it to do that. Now do it right.
And I'll be like, okay.
While we're looking.
By the way, I saw Lala and Young Miami at Nobu this week. I forgot to tell y'all.
Wait, what'd you say?
Narcos comes out tonight.
Really?
Narcos Mexico. It's the final season.
Who is it, though? Is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Still Miguel Angel Gallardo?
Say the name.
I would imagine.
Is it him? Oh, man. I love Narcos.
I thought it wasn't because once they killed the cop, I was like, well, that's the end of the story.
No, it's just beginning. Yeah. He's still alive, by the way. Miguel Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. I got it.
Okay.
Becomes not the means toward reaching healthcare unaffordable, insurance treated as luxury, paid free time as impossibility, children unaffordable, homes a dream. Yes, work is important, but not without the promise of a future. Many young people see nothing but 40 years of the same. Further enriching the obscenely rich, the system has taught people how to survive without, because they don't believe they will ever have. If they reasonably don't believe they will ever be able to afford a house or raise children and never will have a group insurance or paid vacation and can make it living with their parents and have already been taught by MIG resources. I don't know what that means. And Walmart, how to apply for food stamps. Oh, MIG resources must be a division of McDonald's and Medicaid, because these multi-billion-dollar corporations don't know they don't have to pay enough for their employees to survive and are already getting those benefits and have the choice of just saying, forget it. I'm going to go to work on my painting or sewing or whatever. I'm tired of being abused by my supervisor. I'm tired of being screamed at by customers for things out of my control. I'm tired of watching adults throw temper tantrums and then being bailed out by my company because I could have handled it better. Balled out by my company. Mm-hmm. I can survive without all of this. I can be happier without all of this. I'm paid so little, my life won't be that different. That is why we have the Great Resignation, because we, the boomers, have endlessly sucked up the capital that could go down to younger generations to enrich ourselves, then push down the debt. Entry-level jobs that can be done with a high school education now demand college degrees plus unpaid internship experience. So to do the most anything without the possibility of a future, younger generations have to go to college, but to do it, they have to load up on debt. Then we sneer at them when they talk about how their terrible wages and horrible debt make home buying impossible. Oh, sure, the children of the rich are fine, and the parents sneer, maybe some stop buying avocado toast as a single pleasure. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah,
essentially,
blah, blah.
It goes on for a while.
It does.
And then he basically ends up with, this is why the Great Resignation was inevitable. And I ask the people of the Patreon and the people... MIC resources is what McDonald's used to train employees to live off of less.
I think you should say that wasn't his last sentence. It was. His last sentence was, people never wanted to work, quotes. They wanted to invest their effort towards living a better life. That wasn't his last sentence.
And if work doesn't do that, if work merely makes life worse to people who've been taught how to survive without wages so that McDonald's and Walmart, et cetera, can shift their wage costs on the taxpayers, then a Great Resignation was inevitable. How do y'all feel about that? People watching, Angel, what are your thoughts?
Me and my sister were literally talking about this on my way here because of seeing how younger generations view work differently. And we weren't referring to it in this. It was just like what you expect for your experience in your training, even if it's minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
They be like, top dollar still.
Yeah.
And we are a part of a generation that was taught that, no, your hard work is only rewarded so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to put in time in order to be rewarded the way you feel like you should be.
Yep.
So, I mean, this mindset is a mindset that I don't knock. It's just not one that I have grown up with. I have grown up with, you work to get the money you want.
Talk to him.
That's just what I am used to. But I can completely understand people being like, but you don't look happy, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like I remember when I got my job at Boeing that I had to have a college degree for. And I was doing it. And I was like, I wonder why you need a college degree for this job or any of these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said they make the college degree because they don't want to have to interview everybody. And if you say college degree, you just have to interview less people.
Uh-huh.
But the boss of that program, and this is what he's talking about, the dude who was over the whole 737 program, been in Boeing 30, 40 years, right? Started working there when he was 18, didn't have a college degree.
Right.
He came out of high school.
Right.
Worked his way up from the factory.
Right, right.
All the way up to a top job. Now there's no way you could get that job.
Yeah.
Without a college degree. But back then, you really could live off of working at the mill or the car place. Or if you were in the military, you got a GI Bill, you could buy a home.
A one-income household was actually doable with children.
Yes.
That is god dang near impossible unless you live in a rural town.
If you got to live in Mississippi, Wyoming, in Los Angeles?
No.
You need a five-income household to be able to own.
Why do they gotta live so far?
Stuff is
so expensive to try and do on your own out here.
Yes, I would have had to be moving out there with you, Josh.
Mm-hmm. I got an extra room for you.
Listen, I've been like, scoot over.
And that's the thing, like, college, for most of us, at least the three of us in this room, imagine how much easier your life would have been if you got into the college you want because your parents already went there and your parents could have just paid for it. And you got out of college with a degree and you didn't have... I think we all were saddled with student loan debt.
Not my first degree. If I would have stopped, I would have had no debt.
You were a scholarship? Your parents paid for it, you had an academic?
I had an academic scholarship. The first and the second time.
Why'd you keep going?
I'd be bored. I didn't even have to take the debt the second time, but I was like, I don't want a job.
That's what stopped me from going to get like a master's. I was like, I don't want more debt.
Yeah, that debt, I mean,
you really had 2 degrees and 0 debt. And you're like, let me try one more time.
No. The second degree, I took out money, but it wasn't for school. It wasn't for...
It was for a living.
Yeah, it was for living. I was just like, I don't want to have to do class and a job. I'll just take the debt. Thank you. But my school was paid for. I had a fellowship. Mm. But that is the mindset my mother made me be in. She's like, you can go wherever you want to. Just know I'm not paying for it.
So my dad said, but then they also didn't pay for it either.
Yeah. So I was like, so be smart is what you say. Got it. But yeah, if I still have more debt than most people from school because I just kept going like an idiot. But yeah, life would be so much easier, even though that's a lie. I don't pay attention to my school debt.
Would you have where you are without that?
Huh?
Would you be where you are if you didn't have that debt? Could you have achieved everything you've achieved?
What do you mean? If I would have just...
Do you think you could have got the acting gigs you would have got if you didn't?
I needed it.
You did?
Yeah, I could have... It would have been a different path, maybe. I needed it for my own confidence. Mm.
You needed the degree?
Yeah.
Or the training?
Both. It was in me, but I needed the confidence to know that I could tap into it when I needed it.
This is great because then you can just help me with my stuff and it's like going to college for free.
He's like, you know that debt you took it out to live?
Tell me the stuff.
Just regurgitate.
Angel be giving me notes on my auditions. I'd be like, this is why I wasn't booking.
Because
I was just in there like, I read the words.
I was like, Kevin, is that what you've been doing? I said, well, Kevin.
His name is Kev Olsen. He books nothing. He has his own YouTube.
The talent. He just be up there. Yes, Kat, I do plan on getting a PhD.
Do you really?
Yes.
Angel is a superhero.
Dr. Tanksley?
You better know. You better know. That chick Angel, who's she?
You probably do that all online, too.
What would your PhD be in?
I don't know. It'll be something around black culture in
it's fire.
Acting. Something
when you
like,
get the job, they're going to be like, we can't hire her. We got the white woman, we got to hire her. These niggas need a nigga.
These niggas need a nigga. That's what is going. That's what my dissertation is going to be on.
These niggas need a nigga.
And it's going to be about black representation in scripted television.
Got a dissertation already ready to go.
These niggas
need a nigga. Look at that. Look at that.
Thank you, Kevin.
These niggas need a nigga. I want to, what's it called with your thesis? Challenge it? Defend it.
Defend it.
Yes. I want to help you defend your thesis. I'll help you defend it. Boom. Who's coming to take our thesis?
On God.
All right. Tight hour, y'all. We got to go. We got Oklahoma City tomorrow. The Saturday show is early, is sold out. The early Friday is on its way.
No, stop it.
Oklahoma City.
Stop.
These niggas need a nigga. Bye.
Kevin, do your thing.
Oh, what's my, oh, this.
Okay.
You gotta do it like that.
Y'all told me y'all didn't want it to be so.
No, no, stop. my eyes. Where's the end button?
What is your two in the pink, one in the stink? You need a tagline.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, two in the pink. At least I can cut it off.
What is it called?
Shake it, not stirred.
Stop it.
Two hand shuffle. What is it? No, pepper shaker.
Shocker. Pepper shaker?
Yeah.
Pepper shaker out. Two pink. Two in the pink.
Yeah.
One in the stink. Gawk, gawk. Gawk, gawk. Chicka, chicka. Chicka, chicka. Gawk, gawk.
Bye, y'all.
All right, bye.
Oh,
my plan of fasciitis is out there.
Here's another thing of fire. Here's another one. Here's another thing of fire. Here's another one. Here's another thing of fire. Fire. Here's another thing of fire. With my boy Kev on stage. And that chick Angel.